Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Folks, don't forget, you got to get ready to go vote. That's all there is to it. But in the meantime, stick around. Mark Belanger of Radio Labor is coming up right now.
Hello, I'm Mark Belanger from Radio Labor, reporting for the Union Edge. In a very rare protest, 200 workers in Iran rallied in front of the offices of a provincial governor yesterday. They were protesting against the Manzardaran Textile Company to demand overdue wages and benefits. Last May, the workers demonstrated at the provincial legislature and were promised by government officials that their demands would be met. However, 5 months later, the workers are still waiting for their money. They include a number of retirees who have not received their pension payments. Free and independent unions are not allowed in Iran. The Constitution guarantees the right to protest, but most often the police shut down the protests violently. Union activists are regularly jailed under spurious charges. For example, Reza Shahabi, the former treasurer of the Tehran Bus Workers Union, has been jailed since June 2010. He was jailed, according to the authorities, for hostility against God and falsely accused of links to a so-called terrorist group. The global economic order is being renegotiated through a series of so-called free trade agreements. All of these agreements are being negotiated in secret between governments and corporations. One of the agreements is the Trade in Services Agreement. TISA is a proposed international trade treaty between 23 parties, including the European Union and the United States. The agreement covers about 70% of the global services economy. It includes a special course which corporations can use if they think their profits are being restricted. Because the details of the agreements are being kept secret, the potential effects are not clearly known. But indications are that TISA will severely affect service workers. One group of workers that may be harshly affected are migrant workers. There are an estimated 232 million migrant workers around the world. They make up large parts of many national workforces. For example, in the United States, there are about 23 million foreign-born people in the workforce, about 16% of the national workforce. And these workers are not only seasonal farm workers, they are also workers such as live-in caregivers. Many are professionals such as teachers. The concern is that TISA will specifically exclude migrant workers from national labor laws. Tony Salvador is a labor lawyer in the Philippines. There are 10 million migrant Filipino workers in the world. Mr. Salvador.
First, you try to determine whether or not there's employer-employee relation between the migrant worker and the establishment for which she is working. But the problem with regard to TISA is that if you try to deploy workers under the movement of natural persons, then these migrant workers will no longer be considered as employees. They would be considered as independent service providers, which means that you take them out of the labor law of the host countries. Instead, their contracts would be governed by the default or the general contract laws of that country. Now, you know, obviously there's a huge difference between ordinary contracts and labor law contracts, because given the asymmetry with regard to the bargaining power of the worker on one hand and the employer on the other hand, you cannot just put in provisions in the labor contract which are onerous, meaning you cannot put that the worker can accept lower labor standards and the worker must accept lower minimum wage, etc., etc. In those cases, the state comes in and say, well, look, this is a labor contract, and then there are minimums that we have to comply with. So even though, obviously, there's a bargain for exchange between the employer and the employee, we will basically set that aside. And we will say this is what should prevail, meaning you should pay the minimum wage, you should respect all of the core labor standards of the ILO, etc. He or she can be allowed to join the unions, etc., etc. Now, yeah, well, the problem with regard to that is that if you're deployed as independent service providers, then you're not an employee. So the general labor laws do not apply.
In other news, in Ghana, 8 public sector unions have started an indefinite strike. They are demanding that the government allow them to manage their own pension funds. Pilots working for the German airline Lufthansa are on the second day of a two-day strike. The airline has canceled 1,500 flights. And that's it. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.
Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Supporting all working families and their communities.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. You know, folks, I have to tell you that apparently this program does have the kind of reach that we were talking about. We're very proud to be on 20 radio stations every week and 6 radio stations daily from noon till 3 Eastern time. So we decided that we were going to reach out to the Koch family. And we were going to get the Kochs on to talk about some of these issues. And after many negotiations with the public affairs staff, Charles and David Koch's PR people turned us down again. But not to worry, because we've got the Koch sisters with us today. And I'd much rather talk to the ladies than talk to those two. So in any case, you know, I just want to say that this is an important thing. And to help us talk about some of the things that are going on, we have Karen Koch. Karen, welcome to the Union Edge.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And also joining us, we have Joyce Koch. Joyce,
hello.
Thank you. Both of you guys are teachers.
Well, I'm married to a teacher, Charles.
Well, that's close enough.
But I was a social worker.
That's close enough. Yeah. That's close enough.
And I'm a teacher as well. I'm part of National Educators Association. I work for Mott Community College. And also, I work sometimes at a plant that is Detroit Diesel in Flint, Michigan.
You're making the big engines.
Yeah, you got it. If you see a school bus, we make a lot of them, and the big rigs going down the road.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you guys really aren't related. You just have the same last name, but you've been union members for many years, and we appreciate your efforts, and we're going to have a little fun with this today. But Karen, let me start off with you. I mean, what is it that labor is asking for that the Koch brothers don't want people to have?
The Koch brothers are asking for not to have a minimum wage at all. Also, the right to or the inability to unionize. The Koch brothers have done away with unions in their own plants in many aspects, but they also are trying to elect people in gubernatorial positions to get rid of unions there as well.
And Joyce, what does that do to the community when we don't have the opportunity to unionize, when we don't have the opportunity to get a fair day's pay for a fair day's work?
Oh, I think it's of great harm to the community that it takes out, it doesn't make it an equal playing field. It's just an imbalance in the nature of things. Who's going to speak for the worker if it's not the union? And I know this because my husband worked for many years as a unionized teacher, and I could see the difference. You know, I had surgery about 10, 12 years ago, and I said to him, when the bills came in and they were being paid through the insurance, because I wasn't on Medicare then, I said to my husband, oh, thank goodness for the school system with the insurance. And he said, that wasn't the school system, that was the union. And he set me straight, and ever since then I realize if it wasn't for the union, where would we be, and where would many other families be? And that's what the Koch brothers are trying to destroy. And I think there should be more unions, not less. So we need to sit those brothers down and set them straight.
And if anybody could do it, I'm pretty sure you ladies could do it. That's for sure.
Oh, I wish we could.
Yeah, you know, my goodness gracious. You know, all we got to do is get Sister Simone Campbell in the same room with you guys, and the Koch brothers wouldn't stand a chance, you know?
Ah, but that would be nice.
It would.
And Simone, nuns on the bus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you ladies are great, and we appreciate it. Karen, let me ask you this. You know, by 2020 here in the United States, women are going to be the majority of members in unions. Okay. And as the AFL and other unions are transitioning, we're seeing the leadership in unions start to reflect that more and more every day. We don't necessarily always get it right all the time, but we do a better job than most in getting it right most of the time.
Promoting females from within a union setting. That's very true.
Absolutely. But why is it so important that women not only join their unions and are being active, but also become leaders in their unions?
I think one of my uncles was a union leader. His name was David Yadaw. And the things that were important to him and his family is what he voiced. But if you have a female's perspective, maybe a female would work more on accessible child care, whereas a male might work more on improved health care. A woman certainly is going to go after mammograms, and a man is more likely to go after, you know, prostate cancer issues. And so if a woman wants to get involved and make sure women's issues are taken care of, that needs to be brought to the table. Sometimes I don't think about men's issues. Sometimes men don't think about female issues.
Well, there you go. We got a big tent. Everybody's welcome. And that's why we ask all the people as opposed to just some. You know, Joyce, yeah, as we're moving forward, and, you know, we're coming up towards the election. Why is it, in your opinion, so very important that people get involved in these quote-unquote off-year elections?
Oh, I was thinking about that today because I was just reading something about how people just don't turn out for these elections. And I was thinking to myself, well, they think that it's so important for the presidential elections, and it is. I'm not saying it isn't. There's something, some mystique about the presidency. But boy, if you've got the wrong Congress in there, they can just tie the president's hands. I think we're all familiar with the term do-nothing Congress and do-nothing, you know, so they've got to get out and vote and get us a do-something Congress so that the president and the Congress can accomplish things in a positive way for the American people.
Well, you know, I tell you what, from your lips to God's ears, and we hope that we can get the president a Congress that, if for nothing else, is willing to have the conversation and try and get things done as opposed to the do-nothing Congress, which... why are we paying them?
I forget.
Yeah. Hey, listen, ladies, we have to take a short break. I'm going to ask you, please, stick around for one more segment. Love to talk to you about some of the other issues. And in the meantime, you guys stay right there. We'll be right back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio, reminds you to register to vote, educate yourself on the issues, be part of the process.
In 2004, Stuart Bowen of Texas was asked by a friend to take on a difficult and important job, which he did. Bowen's friend was George W. Bush, and the job was to investigate corruption and waste in Iraq, where his buddy George had launched a misguided and very costly war, as well as an effort to reconstruct the country's fractured economy. The watchdog soon learned that Air Force transport planes had been airlifting whole pallets of shrink-wrapped $100 bills from the U.S. to Baghdad, totaling some $14 billion. The bales of cash were delivered to the care of L. Paul Bremer III, a laissez-faire ideologue who had been installed by the Bush-Cheney regime to rebuild Iraq as a regulation-free corporate utopia. It was quickly obvious to Bowen that the utopia included no accounting of where the $14 billion went, though during the next decade, he determined that, quote, billions of dollars were taken out of Iraq illegally. But he couldn't get the Bushites to mount a full-fledged investigation and prosecution. Finally, in 2010, he and his team got a break, learning that about $1.5 billion had been stolen and stashed in a bunker in rural Lebanon. However, the Obama administration would not pursue this lead. Neither did the CIA, FBI, or the Iraqi government. Then, Bowen was stunned that the U.S. Embassy in Lebanon was resisting his own attempts to visit the bunker. actually preventing him from entering that country. When two of his investigators did get into Lebanon, our embassy denied them permission to see the bunker, claiming it was too dangerous. This is Jim Hightower saying, last year, Bowen's office was formally shut down, with none of the missing cash recovered or accounted for. Remember Bowen's 10 years of frustration as Washington starts shoving new billions of dollars into the morass of its ill-defined war against ISIS.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Hi, I'm Al Roker. Let me tell you what's happening in your neck of the woods. Right now, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are our neighbors, friends, our co-workers, but we can do something about it. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find the local food bank in your community. I'm Al Roker, and together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in The Union Edge. We appreciate that very much. On the phone with us today, we've got the Koch family. Not Charles and David. No dark money, no super PACs, no any of that. We've got Karen Koch and Joyce Koch, both Union sisters, parts of the Union family, and we appreciate them. And they're both nice people, so, you know, stick with us. Karen, Joyce, thank you very much for being with us today, ladies. We really appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
You know,
very much.
Ladies, Karen, we were talking a little bit earlier. You know, the elections are coming up in about 13 days. It's so very important that people get involved with it. Make sure I say this all the time. Make sure you're properly registered to vote. You educate yourself on the issues. You do your own homework. Don't believe me just because I'm on the radio. And then go vote your conscience, okay? And I would be happy with that. And that would get, you know, the dark money and the super PACs and all, the Koch brothers out of politics, because if, you know, we have 70, 80, 90% of the people in this country voting and they're educated, it doesn't matter how much money you throw into fantasy commercials, voters get it. But it's not only important to vote for the president and everybody else like that, but it's also important to vote down ballot. Karen, why is that?
One of the reasons is a lot of judgeships come up right now. I've been traveling around the country, and some of the things that I hadn't realized is if in some states, if you're on probation, so like let's say you got pulled over for a drunk driving charge or, you know, an infraction that you didn't even get sent to prison for, but you are on probation. In some states, you no longer can vote. They can put you on probation for 8 years, and you can let go of your vote for the next 8 years. So be careful about letting other people make the decision of who your judges are. I am now telling people, vote while you still can, because you really, if you don't care about any of the election, maybe you care something down the road that you want to make a decision on, and you may vote yourself or not vote and kick yourself out of the opportunity to vote in the future. It's important to vote for all of the positions, but certainly check League of Women Voters, check mm-hmm. with your union, see who they're voting for, make an intelligent decision, but don't just sit on your hands.
Karen, what are your thoughts about these voter suppression tactics that are being done? I mean, here in Western Pennsylvania, in Allegheny County, you know, we've got Mark Terzai, who very famously said in Pennsylvania, voter ID, so Mitt Romney wins Pennsylvania. I mean, you know, it doesn't come out any more blatant than that.
Than that. Very much. Every, you know, your Congress, so many people make decisions for you of what do you need to take to the polls? What are the requirements for you to vote? You know, we always think it's one person, one vote, but that isn't true the way that things go. There is a lot of voter suppression, kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing that someone did, and it was to a small amount of people, about 1,000, is told them that Republicans were voting Tuesday and Democrats were voting Wednesday. Now, you know, most of us really do know that that's not true. But if there's one person out there that decides that, oh, yeah, I should come on Wednesday, they've cheated themselves out of a vote. And it's really not them who cheated themselves. It's the person that did the tongue in cheek. But, you know, we have to make sure that people aren't giving information incorrectly. We also had a situation this year where Republicans had sent people the wrong precinct that they were to vote at. So if they wait until the very day of it, and if it's 8 o'clock at night and they show up at the wrong precinct, they're not going to get to vote. And so it just, it's terrible, the things that they're doing, but they know who they want to vote. You know, they know that they want wealthy white Americans to vote for Republicans, and they want the middle, you know, and we want the middle class to vote for Democrats.
We, you know, and that's the funny thing about labor. You know, we get a good idea who's going to support us, who's not going to support us.
Right.
And that bright line of whether a Democrat or a Republican many times is not the true indicator on who's going to support labor. And labor, you know, I've never been to a union meeting where, you know, some union boss stood up and said, you must vote for, you know, the unions make recommendations. But when it's all said and done, I mean, the Teamsters have a program. It's called Democrat, Republican, Independent Voter Education.
Exactly. And actually, the Teamsters have in the past supported a couple Republicans, and so has the AFL-CIO. And my mom was a Teamster, so I know that it doesn't always work that it's straight Democrat. It generally is, but there have been some exceptions.
Yeah. And those are people that are looking out for all working people, and that's what labor does, and that's what we're very good at, and that's what we'll continue to do, is looking out for working folks. Joyce, let me turn to you. Why did, you know, I'm not sure you can answer for Karen, but I'm sure you guys have talked about this. Why are you guys doing this? I mean, you guys are putting a lot of time and effort into this project, the Koch sisters. Why are you doing this?
Well, it's a very interesting project. I got a call last spring, and at first I said, I can't do this. I'm moving in a month, and there's no way I can handle a move to a couple states away and also do this project that you're talking about. And when I got moved and everything, I called them up and said, are you still doing it? And they were. And it sounded interesting. I was a theater major, so that kind of intrigued me in that way. And I said, but you know, I'm not political. And guess what happened, Charles, in all this? I call myself the sleeping beauty of all this. They gave me a kiss in the forehead, and they woke me up politically. And I'm hoping that I never go back to the way I was. But there's some smart people at the AFL-CIO that had this idea for the Koch sisters project, and I found out that their values and my values just meshed. I mean, the Koch brothers, I talk about them, they're very exclusive. They exclude. They don't want people to have things. They don't want you to have Medicare and Social Security and a minimum wage. And they don't want everyone to be able to vote. And whereas we are the Koch sisters, we're inclusive. And we think, as is the AFL, and you talked about the tent of the union tent, everyone can come in. That's why I wanted to be in the Koch sisters project. And I just think it's fantastic.
Talk to me about some of the people that you've met on the trail, so to speak, some of the people that you've had conversations with. Is there any particular subject that has stood out for you?
Well, for me, it was very interesting for Karen and I in when we were in D.C. the second time filming, and we'd get into a cab, and the cab drivers, like, turned and looked at us, two of them, and said, I know you. And one of them said to me, I saw you. You were in that ad. You were the one on the right. And I said, yes, I was. They were so thrilled. One guy said to me, I saw you on MSNBC. That's our dessert every night. and they were just thrilled. And, you know, it really was a lot of responsibility. Like, we're so important to them. It's like we're carrying a banner for them, carrying this banner of helping they're in the union, obviously, and we had our picture taken with one, and so we're helping them carry the fight forward, fighting the good fight. So it was terrific.
And, you know, I have to say, you are. You are both, and I can't think of very many other people that could do a better job than you guys are. First of all, what you guys are doing is very important. It's stellar. We're using humor. We're using positive communications to get across the point that we need to get across. And I appreciate
it. Really has to be the everyday person to vote.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very much.
Absolutely. And you ladies are doing an awesome job with this, and I appreciate it. And, you know, I also know that my union brothers and sisters that are driving taxis in D.C. appreciate it, too.
Terrific.
And, you know, I got to tell you, we had them on a fairly regular basis. Our friend Chris Gerlach from the D.C. Labor Council keeps us appraised of some of the things that they're going through. And those are some nice people. And they're down to earth. And, if you're in D.C. and you're visiting for the first time, maybe, you know, summer break for the kids, you know, hey, where's a great sandwich shop? Or, you know, where's a good place to take the kids now? Or that they got it nailed. And they'll tell you. And they'll get you there. And they'll do it great. And they're wonderful people. And that is what labor is. It's not what the Koch brothers, David and Charles, want people to believe, that we're all a bunch of union thugs and we're run by minions of union bosses and, you know, all this kind of other stuff. You're putting a very positive, effective face on labor, and I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, that's great. Look, I've got a new sister, Karen, and she's in the union, and my husband, Robert, was in the union, and they're good people, Charles.
There you go. Now, ladies, listen, we are coming to the end of this, and we're just about out of time, but I want to say this, ladies, I want to get you back on. I want to hear more stories about the people you're meeting, the people that you're having a positive influence on, and this wonderful program, the Koch sisters. I hope we can make that happen.
We'd love to.
Karen, Joyce, thank you very much. In the meantime, ladies, we'll talk to you again soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Stick around for Doug Cunningham and Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The American Federation of Government Employees is suing USDA in a bid to block implementation of a new poultry inspection system. The union says it will impede federal inspection of chicken and turkey carcasses, and that could pose a hazard to consumers. The new rule took effect Monday. It delegates some inspections of the carcasses to the poultry processing companies. The new rule reduces the number of inspectors and increases the maximum line speed per inspector from 35 birds a minute to 140 birds a minute. AFGE says the rule is ridiculous, dangerous, and must be stopped. The union suit was filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. A 28-union coalition is launching a Shop at Your Own Risk campaign in Minnetonka, Minnesota, warning of safety problems at the Ridgedale Center shopping mall renovation project. The unions are launching a mobile safety information campaign aimed at mall customers after the mall owner, General Growth Properties, failed to adequately respond to the safety concerns. Dan McConnell is the business manager of the Minneapolis Building and Construction Trades Council.
We had a contractor out there on site that we never heard of doing some demolition. Went out there, found out that work was being performed in an unsafe manner, attempted to work with the mall to address those concerns, continued to discover more and more instances where work is being done in an unsafe manner, and at this point we've been kicked out of the mall and charged with trespassing. We've taken that to the National Labor Relations Board.
The Minneapolis Building and Construction Trades Council has distributed letters to businesses in the mall informing them of the safety problems and the coming union campaign about them. The union coalition is also launching a website called shopatyourownrisk.org to highlight the safety issues at the Ridgedale Center Mall in Minnetonka.
The AFL-CIO said Tuesday that President Obama should use his executive authority to put mandatory worker safety protections in place for health workers dealing with Ebola patients. National Nurses United and the American Federation of Teachers are also urging presidential action to increase the protections at hospitals and other health facilities. The Nurses Union raised serious questions about hospital practices and preparedness after two nurses contracted Ebola in Texas. Costa Rican workers this week joined their brothers and sisters around the world in protesting government budget cuts that force economic misery on working people. 15 public worker unions Monday marched in San Jose to strongly oppose the government's attempts to address the fiscal deficit by submitting the working class to major sacrifices.
Workers Independent News is brought to you with support from union-owned and represented Bank of Labor. Member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender. Doing whatever it takes to meet your business lending needs for new construction, remodeling, or building training facilities. Online at bankoflabor.com.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.